Set up all the cooking, nerdy bought it for the diamond. Sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the cooking, now she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking, now she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking, now she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking, now she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't
there nothing that. You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA. Kilauea. This is your community radio station. And it's the first Monday of December, the 7th, which means it's time for Health Talk. And Health Talk is every first and third Monday of the month. And this is the first Monday, December 7th. Here we are. I'd like to tell you that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Tahiti Nui, Heaven on Earth, and the Greenery Cafe.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Heaven on Earth starts here. Organically grown, GMO-free vegetable starts available at Hoku Foods in Kapa'a, Kauai Seascapes Nursery in Kalihiwai Ridge, and Saturday Morning Market next to Kauai Mini Golf. More information at heavenonearthstarts@gmail.com.
The Greenery Cafe in the heart of Lihue, one block off of Rye Street on Akahi Street, serving flavorful and organic soul food, wraps, smoothies, herbal iced teas, desserts, and vegetarian meals. Located in the lush garden setting near Tip Top Cafe. Call in, takeout, and catering available. Open Monday through Friday for breakfast and lunch. The Greenery Cafe, hearty, healthy soul. 246-4567 or online at thegreenerycafe.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
Yay. Aloha.
Put the lime in the coconut.
So,
Harry Nielsen.
Harry Nielsen. I love that song. Yeah. So we have another hour of Health Talk today. I'm Dr. Donna Kaplan. I'm a naturopathic doctor. That means I'm licensed and I practice as a primary care family doctor, and I specialize in natural medicine. So in order to do that, my approach is to find out what are the underlying causes of a person's condition or person's illness. And so as a holistic doctor, a naturopathic doctor, I want to treat at that root level in order to restore health. So today, we're going to talk about a very important system in the body that can have so much to do with whether we're healthy or whether we are developing or have developed chronic illness. So the digestive system is very, very important and critical in the development of all these kinds of chronic illnesses. So the digestive system is really part of that root factor of that we want to keep healthy and mindful of what we eat and how we care for our intestinal tract in order to have healthy body and lots of vitality and strength. So we're going to talk about our particular digestive problem that is extremely, extremely common. It's called intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome. So many, many, many people have it. I would say anybody who has stomach-related inflammatory issues or even just stomach gas and bloating and pain. In terms of any kind of digestive or disorder, that person is likely going to have leaky gut syndrome. So close to 100 million Americans are affected by digestive disorders. And they're responsible for over 50 million physician visits and more hospitalizations than any other category of medical problems in the U.S. So when there is inflammation in the intestinal lining, or irritation, so whatever degree of irritation from whatever cause or causes, that person will be experiencing this intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome. So what happens is the intestinal lining becomes inflamed, and it allows food particles to get inside of the bloodstream in an unbroken down form. And I'm going to go into that more. But this can lead to all kinds of health issues. You can have chronic sinus congestion, chronic ear infections, headaches, migraines. I already mentioned the gas, bloating, abdominal pain and discomfort, foggy headedness, fatigue, different kinds of arthritis and joint pain, in fact, all kinds of pain and all kinds of inflammation. And as we know, it's inflammation in the body that is causing all kinds of disease. So weakened immune system is another result. Autoimmune diseases of all kinds, including rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, autoimmune thyroid issues, other low or high thyroid issues, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, all kinds of skin rashes, acne, liver toxicity, PMS, hot flashes, endometriosis, tumors can develop, or cancer, urinary tract infections, bladder irritation of different kinds, inflamed prostate, and then brain health issues, ADHD, autism, malabsorption. Okay, so this leaky gut syndrome also leads to malabsorption, which means that there are likely multiple nutrient deficiencies in the body, or in other words, malnourishment. Chronic inflammation, as I already mentioned, and it can be the cause of depression, anxiety, irritability, poor concentration. So, you know, as you can probably get, the list can go on. So this can really be, if you look at one of the key elements here, likely that person, more than likely, is going to have leaky gut syndrome. So as I said, intestinal permeability, leaky gut syndrome, is caused by irritation to whatever degree of inflammation to the intestinal lining. So we're going to go into what causes this, but first I want to describe what happens. So we have, let's say we have some food particles that didn't get digested, they didn't get broken down and absorbed in the small intestine where they're supposed to. So now they're in the large intestine waiting to be eliminated through bowel movement. And while it's waiting there in the large intestine, because there's this inflammation or irritation in the lining, so if you were to look at this irritation underneath a microscope, you would see that there are microscopic tears in the intestinal lining. Now, some people could have larger holes, larger ulcerations, let's say if they had Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. But what's commonly seen, and it's very, very common, as I said, there are going to be these microscopic tears from the irritated, just like if you had irritated skin or inflamed skin, if you were to look at it under a microscope, there'd be little holes, little tears. So here we are, we've got a couple of molecules of food that did not get, for whatever reason, did not get digested and absorbed in the small intestine, and now they're waiting in the colon to be eliminated. So they can end up slipping through this intestinal lining that's become permeable, that has these little microscopic tears, and actually get through and pass the intestinal lining into the bloodstream in an unbroken down form. So that's totally foreign to the body, to have little food particles, little food molecules that have not been broken down floating around in the bloodstream. So the body says, oh my gosh, we need to react, we need to attack, we need to get rid of this. And inevitably, whatever that food particle was is now becoming an enemy to the body. It's the body is recognizing it as toxic. And because it's reacting, it can lead to allergic responses. It can lead to autoimmune issues. It can lead to all of these issues that we talked about. Now, in Chinese medicine, philosophy, you would end up seeing more dampness in the body. So these food particles would create dampness as well as inflammation. And dampness is pathological. Okay, we need good yin fluids. This is another Chinese medical term, but if the fluids have become pathogenic, then it's dampness. But we don't need to go into that so much. And I also wanted to let you know that you can call in and ask questions whenever you'd like. And Dove, can you give us the phone numbers?
Yeah, 826-7771 or 866-275-1112. That's toll free. But 826-7771. And look there, we have a caller right away. Do you want to take the caller right away?
Sure. Sure, we can take the caller.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. There. Anyway, so I'm going to continue here. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, I see. That was me.
Hello?
Yep,
hello.
There he is.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks, Dr. Donna.
You're welcome.
Yeah, about 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with diverticulitis.
Uh-huh. Diverticulitis.
So for the last...
You know, I'm having a little bit trouble hearing right now. Let me just... Hold on just a second.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, now we're good. Very good. So you said you have had diverticulitis?
Yeah, about 20 years ago I was diagnosed with diverticulitis.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the last 7 years I've been taking the L-glutamine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, in the long run helps?
I do. L-glutamine is excellent for helping to repair the intestinal lining. So I think that's very helpful, and thanks for mentioning it. And, you know, what we want to do, and I'm going to get into this further, is we need to find out what are all the causes of the inflammation in the intestinal lining. So L-glutamine is going to help when there's inflammation, but we want to stop inflammation from happening. So we're going to be talking about that. But thank you so much for calling.
How about if a person for most of their lives did not eat enough fiber, and then one of their parents had colitis for like 40 or 50 years of their life? Would those two factors contribute to diverticulitis?
Yes, they could. They could. Anything, like I said, anything that's going to create inflammation. So it would really depend on what the parents' issues are, why they are having colitis, why they are having inflammation. And that's why, as a holistic doctor, I'm going to try to find that out so that we can eliminate the inflammation from happening. We don't need to be continuing to have inflammation. So we'll be talking more about this.
My own self-analysis is my mother has passed away and she had colitis for the last 40 or 50 years of her life. It's from my analysis of my dietary habits, not eating enough fruits and vegetables and whole grains most of my life, I would analyze my case being not enough fiber. So, I mean, today I'm Mr. Fiber, right? So, I'm just trying to get a prognosis. Do you think that following this regimen of taking the L-glutamine is going to, maybe protect me against any long-term past effects of diverticulitis?
Yeah, as long as your body isn't having... So diverticulitis are little, like little polyps that have become inflamed. And so as long as you're not having the inflammation anymore, then you should be fine. And so by having fiber and by having L-glutamine, that will help. Now, you also want to make sure you're having good flora, beneficial bacteria, and we'll be talking more about the other issues that could be going on that you'll want to address if that's going on with you. And I know you've called a number of times, and you do take a lot of different supplements, so I know you're trying to address a lot of issues.
The thing that is most impressive is my studying about health is that the role of fiber in binding the different nutrients, and of course with this the leaky gut issue. So I try to, have like a half a cup or a cup of beans every day, plus the multigrains, and I'm just trying to like to see if if I'm protecting myself correctly.
Yeah. So I think that what's really critical in the gut and in the whole body would be having good beneficial flora. So the good beneficial bacteria that make up our microbiome. And so by having fiber, that's going to help that as well. And so the more that you can have cultured foods, cultured vegetables or kimchi or
this winter I'm starting my fermenting
yogurt
project.
Yeah, so
no,
that'll
I mean,
be.
You know, I mean, I read the book. I got all the tools. I was waiting for the weather to be cooperative, so I won't have to keep on damping down the lactic acid.
Mm-hmm. What I can do is recommend across the board good. Good diet that actually increases those good beneficial bacteria in the intestines. So I can across the board I can say, that's going to be helpful for anybody. And then, the particular person's situation we also want to look at so that we can see if there are any other reasons that are causing inflammation.
And, of course, with all these lovely GMO situations on our island, that really doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. Actually, yes, if a person is eating foods that contain environmental toxins, like foods that contain GMOs, for example, the BT toxin that's in the corn, then and even if they're not having corn, the food might have corn oil. So if the diet isn't organic, likely the person is getting a lot of these, especially if they're having animal products and dairy, because the animals are being fed the GMO diet. And so you actually end up having a pesticide herbicide factory in the intestinal lining, and this will kill the beneficial bacteria. It will also cause inflammation. So that's a really, really excellent point. So
and then,
organic
course,
diet is very important.
Doesn't glycosamine and atrazine, don't these two substances function by chelating the different minerals in one's diet?
Yes, it can chelate minerals. It can also cause mineral excess. You mean glyphosate?
Right.
And atrazine. Yes, it can cause mineral excess, like magnesium excess. But it will kill. It's a bactericide, so it will kill our beneficial flora.
Mm.
So, anyways,
thank
you so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. General.
And,
as always, I really appreciate your help.
Oh, thank you. Take care. Aloha.
Aloha.
And yeah, the phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you have any questions.
So I was in the process, before we got that call, of talking about how leaky gut syndrome what that is and how that happens. So we were talking about a particle of food that didn't get broken down and absorbed is now, it and because of the integral of the lining being inflamed, or the intestinal lining, it's able in the colon to slip through, get into the bloodstream in an unbroken down form. So that is becomes a toxin to the body. It becomes an enemy to the body. And if a person is having inflammation in their intestines, from whatever the reasons are, over time, they're going to develop more and more food sensitivities, more and more food toxins. So they could be allergies, or they could just be toxins. And so this is how pathologies start developing in the body if nothing is done about it. So you can end up getting all these kinds of conditions that that I mentioned. And so this can be very much at the foundation and very important to consider and to heal, like our caller has been considering. So basically, as I mentioned to the caller, we want to find out all the different ways that we can help with getting rid of inflammation out of the intestines and out of the whole body, of course, because that is what causes disease. So a bad diet and food intolerances, food sensitivities, as I mentioned, okay, because you can, whatever that food particle, I'm just repeating again, whatever that food particle that entered into the large intestinal, through the large intestinal lining, got into the bloodstream in an unbroken down form because of leaky gut, whatever that food particle is becomes now a toxin to the body. So that person is developing more food intolerances. So those need to be eliminated, because those are in turn going to create more inflammation in the intestines, in the lining. So we were also talking about the importance of the good beneficial bacteria. So many times, this is deficient in people. So this is because of, can be from many reasons, but it can be because there's too much of the pathogenic bacteria, or too much in terms of parasites or yeast. So bacteria and pathogenic bacteria, so problematic bad bacteria and parasites, those are also factors that can cause inflammation. But having a low amount of the good bacteria is going to cause the pathogens to increase. And our 80% of our immune system is in our gut. And so very much what's the buggers that are responsible for our good immune system and for our good health are the good probiotics, the good beneficial flora, the good beneficial bacteria. So we always want to increase this. Because of, you know, we were talking about environmental toxins like glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup that we were talking about, and other herbicides and pesticides. Those are going to kill the bacteria and cause inflammation. Antibiotics are going to kill the bacteria. A mother having antibiotics, let's say, during birth, that can, you know, in terms of the baby, the child being born low in bacteria. So this can be an ongoing problem from a long, long time ago. But even just having antibiotics once or twice a year or once every few years, this can really knock out all the good beneficial flora. So very, very important to build that up. And we also see that we have this dysbiosis, so a disproportionate amount of the pathogenic bacteria and yeast, which is also called candida and possibly parasites. Those things are going to be growing the more sugars, the more simple carbs we have, sodas, those kinds of things. So I want to go back to the issue of beneficial bacteria because it's really in the forefront of medical research right now. And just in terms of how beneficial it is for the whole body and for brain health and for the body actually thriving. I mean, affecting all body systems, affecting our mental, emotional well-being. The list goes on and on, but I want to come back to that. But I first want to go over all the different causes, all the different reasons why we can get inflammation, because we need to find out what those are in order to treat them. So, as I mentioned, candida and parasites, having a poor diet that is not organic, that has environmental toxins in it, even plastics, you know, even drinking things that have been in plastic. This has estrogen mimicking, which can really affect the flora in the intestines. It can affect inflammation in the intestines. Coffee, processed food, and rancid fats of all kinds, different food additives and toxins, aspartame, NutraSweet, those create inflammation. Unhealthy dietary fats like rancid fats or fats that have been fried, alcohol, I mentioned sodas already, high fructose corn syrup, big one. Already talked about those. Okay. So all of these things can cause inflammation and so then can cause leaky gut syndrome. So how do we know if we're having these things or what we're having? And so there are tests to do. There are stool tests to do, which you can find out if there are parasites, if there are bacterial pathogens, if there might be candida or yeast overgrowth. So that's one way. And I just want to say that parasites can show, if a person has had parasites for a very long time, then it's not necessarily an acute parasitic infection anymore where they're having diarrhea. And the parasites, you know, they have their, what is it called? You know, different life stages. I'm not remembering the name of that right now. But they're different life stages. And so it's possible that a person could have parasites and, you know, typically 1 to 3 samples of stool are taken, and then there are antigen tests to find out if there are a couple of different kinds of parasites, and then there's the looking at it underneath a microscope to find out if there are parasites, if there are eggs. There's also worms, too. So there's the microscopic parasites and then the larger worms, which a person can have. So what I'm saying is, with these stool tests, it's possible a person can have parasites, but not until they maybe had 12 tests might they be able to locate it and see it in a microscope. So that's just a possibility, that even if the test comes out negative, that you maybe can't rule it out. Now, in my practice, I use a technique called kinesiology, which allows me to get a reading in the office of whether how the body's doing, how the organ systems are doing, the different organs, how the different nutritional status of the body. You know, is the person having enough protein? Is the person having environmental toxins? What are the vitamins and minerals that are okay, what are deficient, and then in terms of the gut, are there any pathogens? What kind of pathogens are they? So, so that's another way of identifying them. So once they're identified, we can go from there in terms of how to treat. So let's say that we know that the person has candida. So we'll first talk about the different ways of treating candida. Now, actually, a lot of the ways to treat candida are similar to if a person has parasites. And again, I want to bring it up one more time that we don't have to have a bacterial pathogen, a candida pathogen, or a parasite in order to have inflammation. We could have, any one of these environmental toxins from food that's not organic or from junk food, or we could have food sensitivities and be developing more because of this inflammation. So in terms of candida, what I like to do is, first of all, and this is going to be true for parasites too, is that we need to decrease our sugar and carbohydrate intake. The more that we can cut that out, the more that we are not going to be feeding candida or parasites or pathogenic bacteria. So that's one aspect of the protocol, would be to cut out especially anything that's sweet, anything that's a carbohydrate, like bread and pasta and those kinds of things. Now, there's also, we also can look at, okay, what can we take that'll kill it? But we also want to make sure that we're having the good beneficial bacteria. So one can take a probiotic. One can also have foods that are rich in probiotic and that are fermented. And that's going to be very, very helpful. Now, often I find that when a person has leaky gut syndrome and when a person has candida, they're also very low in hydrochloric acid. So the stomach puts out hydrochloric acid. It's necessary for assimilating minerals and for the digestive process of protein. And the digestive system, and as well, it can get closed. The body can close it down. Now, what I find when a person has more and more food sensitivities, and they're particularly, especially if they're a sensitive individual, then often they're not absorbing. Okay, so their absorption process has been turned down. Now, this can simply because the body is trying to protect them. The body is trying to protect them from taking in and absorbing toxins. So these toxins could be developed into food sensitivities, could be alcohol, could be coffee. One of the ways to get the digestive system working back up to 100%, now I see this so often in my office, many, many people, 45, 50, 60% that they're absorbing. And so their bodies over time have become malnourished. But this will also decrease that good hydrochloric acid. Now, many, many people, one of the most important for the pharmaceutical companies, one of their most important products are the acid-reducing medicines. So antacids, beta H2 blockers, and also the proton pump inhibitors, the purple pill, the what are they called? Just blanking on the name of that. But anyway, so those are all designed to decrease stomach acid. Now, we don't want to do that. Now, they're doing that because they're not looking at root cause, right? The pharmaceutical companies or that, you know, and certain doctors are not necessarily looking at the root cause. They see, okay, this person has acid reflux. They have these burning symptoms. So we're going to give this proton pump inhibitor, which is going to stop the stomach from secreting hydrochloric acid. So we're reducing the acid. We're going to reduce the burning. Now, that's all fine, but that's going to lead to malabsorption. It does cause malabsorption. It will lead to malnourishment. It will lead, which leads to osteoporosis, for example. So bone thinning, that's just one of them. But, you know, adrenal fatigue, fatigue of organs, on and on and on and on. So, you know, ideally we want to identify why this person is having acid reflux, why this hydrochloric acid is not working well. So one of the most important ways, there are two important ways, and I've described, is simply the body trying to protect from toxins that have been being taken in. And it doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol, coffee, other toxins. It could be, you know, simply a food that the person perceives as beneficial, but because they had leaky gut syndrome, these foods have turned into toxins. So what happens is, back to the candida and the bacterial pathogens and the parasites. So if there's low hydrochloric acid, we're not only going to have an issue with digestion and absorption, but we're going to have an issue because we need an acidic environment, a relatively acidic environment in the intestinal tract, in order to keep these pathogens at bay and to help the good bacteria flourish. So often if somebody has chronic candida or chronic parasites or chronic bacterial pathogen, this is happening that they have low hydrochloric acid. And, you know, they might be treating it, doing all the right things. They're not having any sugar in their diet. They're not having any carbs in their diet, and they just can't get rid of it. But this is often a factor when it's chronic. So in the short term, we can do things like if the person's not sensitive to it, they can have like lemon juice 10 minutes before they eat, or apple cider vinegar, or betaine hydrochloric acid. There are other wonderful supplements that they can take. Again, this will help. It's not going to change the problem. So we want to change. We want to transform health. So we need to identify if there are food sensitivities or food toxins that are causing the body to react and try to protect. We want to identify them and avoid them. It also can be, which is so common, as you probably know, adrenal fatigue and stress. So what happens when there's stress is we get a increase of cortisol, good old cortisol, which is, if we're not having chronic stress, it's very, very important. Helps us to adapt and to get over stress and for the body to adapt. If we're having chronic stress, it causes many health conditions in the body. And it causes adrenal fatigue. If the person has adrenal overload, you know, or they're running on their adrenal glands, they're having sugar, they're having coffee, those things are also going to increase cortisol. Also, what increases cortisol is becoming hypoglycemic or not having enough blood sugar. So, and you get the highs and lows when someone has simple carbohydrates, especially on an empty stomach. So we have this issue of stress and cortisol and epinephrine being released. What happens is we need to run, when we're stressed, the physiological response, as you probably know, is to try to run so we can get away from the threat of the bear or the mountain lion, let's say. So what happens is the cortisol and the epinephrine turns off the parasympathetic nervous system, so digestion, digestion primarily. Okay, it's going to turn off digestion because we don't want our energy going into digestion when we need to run for our lives. We want our energy to go into our limbs, our muscles, our brain, so we can think clearly. So this is what happens. So a person who's chronically stressed, even if they're not being threatened by a bear, even if they're just sitting in front of their computer, but they're just having low-level stress, even if it's they're not running away from the bear, they're still having the stress, and it is affecting the digestive system. It is turning off the digestive system. So it's turning off absorption and assimilation and digestion. And that's another reason why a person gets low hydrochloric acid. So we need to turn those around in order to treat bacterial pathogens. Now, I've already started a little earlier to talk about how important the microbiome is, the new word for the good beneficial flora. Okay, this is our 80% of our immune system. And there's a really good book that totally goes into this whole issue by Dr. David Perlmutter. And he talks about the gut biome in this book called Brain Maker. You can get it on Amazon. He also had a very popular book called Grain Brain. Okay, and it's talking about the effects of sugar on the brain, the effects of simple carbs and wheat on the brain, and how it creates many brain pathologies. So he's a neurologist. And so in this book, he talks about just how, you know, this is really the cutting edge with medicine, is to realize that our microbiome, okay, we have 100 trillion invisible microbes, okay, that we're in symbiotic relationships. So our own cells are outnumbered by a factor of 10 times. There are 10 times the number of these microbes. Okay, of these good beneficial, they're not just the beneficial bacteria, okay, they're viruses and such, but it's the beneficial bacteria that are responsible. Okay, they've identified about 10,000 species, and they're still identifying more, and I'm sure there's a lot more, but each of them, each little microbe has its own DNA, and these have been going on since the beginning of, for how, I don't know how long, but for sure since the beginning of humans started. And so you can imagine that the microbiome of a person now compared to a million years ago or thousands of years ago is going to be different, especially, you know, just in the last 100 years, in the last 50 years, in the last 10 years, how much has changed? How much because of, you know, things like antibiotic usage in agribusiness. Okay, all the animals being fed antibiotics, And so, you know, we've become resistant to antibiotics. And these antibiotics are, you know, actually that's another major factor in terms of killing the beneficial bacteria and causing inflammation. And that would be all the antibiotics in commercial foods, particularly in that are fed to the animals and that are injected in the animals and the hormones and such. Okay. So, anyways, these organisms that outnumber our cells by tenfold, okay, we're in the symbiotic relationship with them, and they are responsible. They have DNA. They are influencing our own genome, our own DNA. And so more and more research is happening in this field. It's very, very important. But, you know, so this Dr. David Perlmutter, he's a neurologist, and he was a traditional, or I should say conventional neurologist. And then he has come to realize that, you know, our diet is responsible for brain health and brain pathologies, you know, like Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, ADHD, and on and on and on. And so, what's the other one? It'll come to me. But anyways, that are just so common, these brain issues. And so, you know, the health of our intestines, the health of our intestinal flora, our microbiome, is absolutely crucial for our brain health, for whether we thrive, for cardiovascular disease, for our good feelings, okay, responsible for whether we have depression, whether we're happy, whether we have anxiety disorders. It's pretty amazing. So these good bacteria, the beneficial microbiome, it's responsible for making vitamins like different B vitamins, manufacturing vitamin K1, manufacturing precursors to all the important neurotransmitters. In fact, some of the neurotransmitters, amino acids like methionine, serotonin, melatonin, melanin, epinephrine, dopamine, thyroid hormone, folate, coenzyme Q10, I already said vitamin K, vitamin E, it's called the shikimate pathway, which is the plants all have that pathway, but also the flora, the bacteria have this pathway as well. And that's what's targeted in like Roundup, the glyphosate. So that's one of the reasons why, which is heavily sprayed all over the world. So it's one of the reasons why, if you're not having an organic diet, likely one of the issues is that it's going to kill this important beneficial bacteria in the intestines. So important to decrease your sugar, which is very important for treating candida, but you want to increase something like live cultured foods. I love making coconut yogurt. Mm. So, and I put probiotics in it. It is. Ah. And it's so good. It's so good for you.
The phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you have a question about any of these topics or something else, 826-7771 is the number.
Okay, so back to treating candida. So we're eliminating the issue of food sensitivities and stress. I laugh at that, because it's not so easy to eliminate stress, but it's very important that we work on that. And in order to get the whole gut and the digestive tract working and to get that hydrochloric, then we can start taking, okay, we could do grapefruit seed extract, caprylic acid, oregano oil, oregano tea, lavender oil, lavender tea, probiotics, a good probiotic. Oftentimes, a person has sensitivities to soy and dairy, and so probiotics that are grown not on dairy and soy would be beneficial. Most of the products out there are, so you need to look for the ones that aren't. Podarco is the inner bark of podarco. Clove tea, garlic, thyme, coptis or golden thread, spilanthes, wormwood, which is artemisia. We have an artemisia variety that is indigenous to Hawaii. Tea tree oil, rosemary, these are just some things that are agents that will help to kill candida and also parasites. Black walnut as well. And then our caller who called earlier, you know, was talking about, well, it looks like we have another caller too, was talking about L-glutamine and how to influence inflammation. And my response was, yes, you can take things that'll decrease inflammation, but we want to get at what are the root causes. So we've mentioned some of them.
Hello, I'll call you. You're on the air. Are you there?
Oh, I didn't want to be on the air.
Okay, hold on.
I just want, okay.
Okay, so if the certain things that generally can treat inflammation would be you can use licorice root, you can use the beneficial fats we mentioned about coconut oil, omega-3s, fish oil, hemp seed oil, flax oil, evening primrose oil. You can also use demulcent. They're demulcent herbs like slippery elm, Althea, which is marshmallow root, and then yarrow flower, calendula flower, those can help the gut as well.
Sorry about that to the caller. If he wants to call back, he can ask the question off the air. I can take him off the air, the question. If you have any other questions, anybody else has any questions, I can take him off the air. And we also have an email here, dj@kkcr.org, if you'd like to just email a question in. That works too. And the number is 826-7771.
Thanks, Dub. Okay, so fresh aloe vera can be helpful, and good fiber. Our caller that called in earlier in the show is talking about fiber. So fiber can be in many forms, but flax seeds make a great fiber. Psyllium seeds also make a really good fiber. Peppermint can be oil, and peppermint tea can be anti-inflammatory. And then quercetin. Quercetin is a great supplement that can reduce inflammation, especially combined with vitamin C. Now, if a person is having a lot of diarrhea, then they want to be careful about vitamin C intake as well as magnesium intake. So vitamin A and vitamin E promote healing as well. And if a person's having diarrhea, there are certain homeopathic remedies that might help. A real classic one is arsenicum album. And that's also a really good one for anxiety as well. And then for pain, stomach pain, there's one that can be really helpful, Colosynthes. Now,
that was a caller just saying she was really enjoying the show. Just want to thank you for doing what you're doing. And she said that if most people just stopped drinking sodas and power drinks and all that stuff and drank water most of the time, that would help a lot. That's what she said.
That is absolutely true. Thank you very much. And thanks for
She was enjoying the show and the topic. So.
Yeah. Well, we just have a few minutes left. And, again, feel free to call in if you have a question. So what we're finding is that in order, going back to our main topic of the digestive system, is treating leaky gut syndrome. So leaky gut syndrome, as I mentioned, and if you're just tuning in at the end, is when, for whatever reason, and we went into a lot of those reasons, that one could be having inflammation and irritation in their intestinal lining. This is so common, so common. I see this, you know, 98% of the people that come into my office, maybe even more. And so what this causes is a permeability, okay, of the intestinal lining. So if we looked at an inflamed intestinal lining, just as if you were looking at your skin under the intestinal lining, if we looked under a microscope, you'd have these little microscopic tears, and in some people, bigger ulcerations, allowing food particles that weren't digested and absorbed from the upper part of the intestine to then in the colon, waiting to be eliminated, ends up passing through this compromised intestinal lining in the colon, gets into the bloodstream in an unbroken down form, and the body says, what is going on? We've got to take care of this. We can't have these. These are now enemies. I don't recognize this. This is a foreign body. And this is how more food, you know, that creates more inflammation if the person's still eating those foods or other toxins, and this keeps going on and on like a cycle. The person gets more food sensitivities the longer they have inflammation. So again, we want to identify all the causes of why the inflammation is happening and treat those. And this leads to so many health conditions in our body. And again, getting that microbiome, the good beneficial bacteria, increased as much as possible through diet or possibly through taking supplements is very, very, very important. And thanks so much for tuning in.
What do you think about kombucha?
Kombucha is excellent because, mm-hmm. you know, anything fermented mm-hmm. is going to add to the microbiome and mm-hmm. it's going to enhance it. So, yes, if fermented foods, thanks, Dove, are really great.
I love kombucha.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of a fad. Healthy. It's become sort of a fad now. You see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious if it really is. It really is beneficial.
It's very beneficial.
Good.
Very beneficial. Right. Yeah, we need all the help we can get with all of our environmental toxins.
True.
And
true.
The kinds of foods that are out there. Mm. So...
Thanks so much for being here. That was amazing. You just talked for that whole hour. Just keep going. Which is just amazing that you can do that.
Usually we run out of... We have more to talk about and we run out of time.
Yeah.
So,
you're good.
But, and this is such a huge, important topic. And anyways, thanks so much.
So you'll be back in 2 weeks?
Be back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That'll be first and
21st.
First and third Monday, 12 to 1, Health Talk.
Cool.
And
thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for making it happen, Dove.
And coming up next is Richard with One World Radio. One World.
Aloha, everybody. Ahui ho.